You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Clark, so today we're exploring an aspect of Indigenous knowledge systems and practices, and we're going to be telling you the story of Sejong. One of you have sent me a WhatsApp picture with a beautiful cup of tea saying, having a cup of Sejong tea, that variety, right now. Beautiful, in a beautiful cup too. And so today we're exploring the story of the wonders of Tepani tea. I'll get my guest, Ratang Phahla, to explain all of this in a moment. So this tea has been consumed for centuries by the Bapedi people. And one of it comes from the Bapedi area, what we could call the heartland, as known as Sekhukhune land, which is situated between Olifants and Steelport rivers, right? And the area, of course, was named after Sekhukhune I, the son of Sekwati. And there is incredible heritage that is coming out of this area that is told through the tea. It's no secret that I absolutely love tea. So I was at a market, I was walking past, I saw a market, I went in, and there was this stand with teas that are familiar to me. And I said to them, is it you guys? They said, yes, it is. And we got talking about the story. And it turns out that Sejong tea crafters, they are award-winning. They are an award-winning agribusiness, and they are a vehicle for development of natural indigenous flora found in that natural landscape, where in the locations that I was telling you about in rural Limpopo. When you get to hear the story, you get to understand that it's more than a tea. It's more than infusions and the wonderful flavors, but it's actually an infusion of collaboration and community building. Ratang Phahla, co-founder of Sejong Tea, joins us now. Hello, Ratang.
Hi, Azania.
It was so wonderful to meet you and to hear this incredible story. But I'm going to let you tell it. It all started with your mum deciding that she wanted to spend her later years in Limpopo. This is especially in the home of her husband.
Yes. Well, basically, like in the Bedi culture, when you're married, you're going to basically adopt the whole heritage and culture of your husband. Mm. So my mom just felt that she hadn't really been in touch enough with the Bedi culture, with her being a Zulu woman. But she'd been doing community work for over 14 years, and she just felt like she owed something to her husband's home village. She went back to our village, which is Raphasha in Sekhukhune, and just instinctively gathered a group of women within the community, and she basically filled up a hall and worked with my brother to actually do a workshop of asset-based community development, which involves leading the community to identify their natural assets. So identify what they have instead of what they don't have. And what was really significant in Sekhukhune was the deep indigenous knowledge that's held by the elders in the community. So besides tea, so many other things came up, like different types of foods that also haven't been commercialized, and just a general way of life as well. But what was very exciting to us as a family, because we're huge tea drinkers, with these amazing teas, and the fact that they taste delicious just made it even more intriguing for us to look into how we can use these indigenous teas to tell the story of Bapedi people.
And you're so right that I can't get enough of them, cannot get enough of the flavors. Wow. And you worked with academics from the University of Limpopo. They assisted you in just providing scientific support so you could understand the wonders and the health benefits of Tepane and Dia. But for anyone who's not familiar with the tea and what is in it, just take us through what Tepane is, what Dia is, and what you went on to infuse it with to create the different varieties.
Okay, so Tepane is what you could commonly describe as a black bush tea. It is actually a leaf that grows naturally on different host plants. And it has been used traditionally as a way to boost the immune system. But it really differs from a normal black tea in the sense that it's caffeine-free, it's low in tannins, so it doesn't have the bitter aftertaste that you get with a normal black tea.
Yes, you can brew it and brew it and brew it,
yes.
And it never turns bitter. We know that happens with green tea, that happens with several others, and also with conventional black tea, but never with your teas, with Dipani.
Yeah, and that's because it doesn't have any tannins.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has like a natural vanilla kind of a flavor to it.
Yes.
So basically the University of Limpopo and CSIR, they did research and found that Dipane contains a variety of amino acids. It contains zinc, it contains magnesium, as well as vitamin A, C, and E. And then with Dia is basically a root. So it's not a tea in the normal sense of a leaf, but it's a root. So it's very similar to the African potato. And it's been used within traditional medicine for many years as a way to detox, lower blood pressure and cholesterol, and as well as for antibacterial properties. And the research institutes found that it also contains fiber, zinc once again, as well as calcium. Mm. So it sounds like it could be bitter because it's been used in traditional medicine, but it's actually very light in taste. And again, it doesn't have the bitter aftertaste that you usually get with normal teas, so it's very easy to drink. So because of these properties, we decided to infuse the teas with herbs and fruit that basically contain similar properties, like ginger and berry. So with Dia, we have a lemon, ginger, and berry detox tea, which makes detoxing a little more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got an orange, ginger, and turmeric calming tea. So because the Dia root lowers your blood pressure, it actually has a calming effect. So it was quite easy to create a calming tea and a sleep tea with strawberry and fennel out of that.
Yes.
And then with Dipane, we've got chai spice infusions. So Dipane gives you like a natural boost of energy. It's like a multivitamin from nature, really.
Yes, you must put that somewhere in the messaging. It's quite a great way to put it. But, you know, another reason over and above the work that you're doing in protecting and preserving indigenous knowledge is the setup, is the approach that you took. That you didn't come in as urbanites and and you just studied what the people did and then left with it and enriched yourselves, you know. Instead, this is a broad-based alliance. Traditional leaders, healers, agroecologists, academics, subsistence farmers, the women crafters are involved, just youth who go on to earn an income from selling the tea, village elders, you know, because we sometimes discard the knowledge of our elders. So you've taken care of so many stakeholders in terms of consultation and in terms of the structures and how you're giving back to this community. You even have tea tours.
Yes. So we have tea tours that really give people an opportunity to learn from these village elders and see for themselves that the knowledge is really held with the elders. So we're basically trying to create an opportunity for traditional leaders and elders to tell their stories and kind of share their knowledge with city people. So through this platform, we've also been able to create a relationship, like you say, between science and Indigenous knowledge.
Yeah.
And it's not about basically proving that the knowledge is right, but just validating it through science.
Yeah. I know. And that's the thing, I think, that keeps or holds back a lot of people from doing anything with our Indigenous knowledge. It can be quite a process, which you guys have walked. In fact, it's been many years. This didn't happen overnight. This has been many years of painstaking work with academics and, as you mentioned, with the CSIR, with researchers, to make sure that what your understanding of the tea, also you're able to communicate it to a consumer or society that does place a premium on science, and also there is a component in society that places a premium as well on Indigenous know-how. So you have managed to really marry the two worlds well together. I mentioned some of the awards that you have won, but how has growth been? How would you just characterize the past couple of years in terms of how the business has grown?
Well, it's been challenging, like it is starting up any other business.
Mm-hmm.
But what has been quite unique in our challenges is that we're introducing something that the world really hasn't heard of before. You know, we're not selling your conventional black teas and green teas, and we're selling herbs that come directly from the community, which are usually sold on an informal basis. And we're trying to put them onto retail spaces, and we're trying to educate retailers about these products and about, you know, creating a space for Indigenous products on the shelves, which isn't something you see every day. So it's been quite a process of just educating the market, and I think that's what has been more challenging. But through the support from stakeholders like the CSIR and Department of Science and Innovation, which has supported us as well, that has given us some credibility and helped open a few channels much easier.
Yes, yes. And I hope you get to take it to the rest of the world, that South Africans really start to then appreciate exactly what we have, this knowledge and this just this wealth as one of the most biodiverse regions in the world. Ratang, compliments to you and your family over and above everything that we've talked about. I love the fact that it's also a family endeavor. You're all, who's involved? You, your mom, your brother? Is your dad involved?
Yes. Not so much.
Yes.
Mostly my mom, myself, and my brother. We've always been doing community work together. So when this opportunity came up, it was just natural for all of us to get involved.
Yes, yes. Oh, I'm a huge fan. And I thought everybody else should hear about the incredible work that you're doing. Thank you for your time, Rita.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Azania, and I hope you keep enjoying your teas.
Yo, I don't think I'm going to stop anytime soon. Even bought these beautiful tea sets from them, and they are my favorite. I haven't stopped using them since. Absolutely my favorite. That's Ratang Phahla, the co-founder of Sejong Tea. Sejong, I should say, if we're going to say it, Kasipedia, Kira Abel, Sejong. So you can go onto their website. It's SETSONGT.com, and you'll be able to see exactly what we've been going on about and the various types of teas that they have put together. It's a wonderful initiative. I think a great model for what is possible out of South Africa.